is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network. The views and opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of this station. Now here's your host for Sunday Drive, Daryl Power.
Headset, that's not working. Now it is. Am I officially just on the air now, Zach? What's the story?
I can hear me.
Anyway, if you missed the intro, there was an intro. It was absolutely sensational.
It was beautiful.
It was really something to behold. This is Sunday Drive. This is Daryl Power. There's something going on with my head.
I can only hear me in mine.
Yeah. We'll worry about that later. Am I making it to ear, Zach?
Yeah,
I'm making
okay.
it to ear.
Okay.
God, I can't stand the sound of my own voice anymore.
I know. It's brutal.
Listen, this is... We got lots of stuff to cover today, but we're going to spend the first portion of this show talking about the future. The future is here, and the future is the electric vehicle. And someone who has been on the cusp, on the forefront of promoting electric vehicles in this province is Pat Dunn, who has, I'm outing myself here. He was my neighbor at one time, and I heard him silently zipping along my house. It's like... what was that? What's that sound? Oh, there's no sound. It is the sound of an electric car zipping by. Pat Dunn, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Dale.
The sound of an electric car. Let's just start there because it's kind of freaky, isn't
it? Yeah. It's like, it's just power. It's like a whistle almost.
It's winter. My car has all kinds of little extra noises.
Oh, mine too. My truck. Well, I have a Ford F-150 as well. You know, it's the contrasting vehicle to the Tesla Model S for sure.
So you have, this is currently you're on your second electric car?
No. The Model S is the first one that we've purchased. Yeah. We bought it in 2016. So now we're... About 5 years in, 16, 17, 19. Yeah. So this is our fourth year with it now.
So the funny thing about electric cars is let's start way back at the beginning, because once upon a time in the late 1800s, there was a battle over, it's like the VHS beta battle. Which one was going to win?
That's right.
There was electric car technology and there was the combustion engine, and it seemed like oil and gas companies definitely won out in that battle.
Yeah.
And the car was just totally put off to the side.
Yeah.
But they were very effective cars for the time.
Oh, apparently, yeah. They were excellent for getting around. I mean, they would have had big, heavy lead acid batteries, I would imagine, in them back then. But they had electric buses and trams. I mean, even here in Newfoundland, we had electric trolleys going back and forth Water Street and Ducker Street.
The streetcar, yeah.
Yeah, the old streetcar.
Kenneth Carraway on the show talking about that from his recent book, and the Petty Harbor hydroelectric plant was actually built and created in order to run those vehicles.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Right?
Cool. Very cool.
But,
wow, how progressive.
I know. And I remember,
right?
I remember being younger, being hooked on CNBC. God, thank God I let those days go. Where there was talk about Ballard Power, that Canadian company that could, where people just spent, it seemed like decades, talking about what the future of the car battery was going to look like. Well, that future is here.
Oh, is that the company that did the hydrogen fuel cell in BC?
Yeah.
And so have they, what happened to them?
I don't know what happened to Ballard.
I thought they were doing buses around Vancouver area.
Someone who bought the stock for $862 a share, and now it's trading at $350, what you call it, and let us know.
Okay.
But there was a lot of, but the technology really is here. Tell me about your vehicle. Just how far can you go on this?
Well, my vehicle is rated for about 420 kilometers. So it has an 85 kilowatt battery. I'm hoping I'm getting all this right. And in the winter, it doesn't go as far because, these are lithium ion batteries. And lithium ion batteries have been around for many years, but they're now just really mass producing them and getting them, making them better, improving the chemistry and, things about cold weather performance and all those sorts of things are only going to get better with time. And I mean, my car, I don't notice. I have enough range in my car. We'll put it this way. I have enough range in my car that I don't even worry about it. I don't think about it. I plug it in at night. I wake up in the morning and go, or my wife wakes up in the morning and she goes, and it's like you got a full tank.
So, you know, when I think of winter driving, we drive less anyway, but let's face it. I mean, for most of us, our driving is like kids to school, grocery store, a few errands.
Yeah.
No one bombing around $500 a day in a car necessarily unless you're a delivery driver.
Yeah, unless it's your work. Maybe you're a salesperson or that sort of thing. And, you know, it's not going to be very far away. I've heard, I haven't gotten full confirmation on it yet, but I've heard through various different sources, including the Drive Electric NL group with John Seary, who I'm buddies with as well, that there is a island-wide high-speed electric vehicle charging network in the works.
Oh.
So I'm not sure if it's been approved or commissioned. I know they're getting prices. I know that Nalcor has calls out for people who are able to, if you have space, if you like maybe have a restaurant or a gas bar and you're on a main highway, you can call, I believe it's Nalcor, and you can put your property in as a potential charge point. And they need, there are specifics that they need. There needs to be three-phase power nearby, I believe, so that they can, these are like, I believe they're 50 kilowatt an hour direct current high-speed chargers. So
you say if your car is 85 kilowatts, it'll be an hour and change, would take it from drain to fill.
Oh, well, yeah. So the way that lithium-ion batteries work is you go to 80% on your high-speed charger.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to 100, it's slower. That last 20% takes longer. So they're designed so that if you're on the highway, you can pull in, you drive for about 3 hours, you can charge for about 25 minutes, and then you can drive for another 3 hours. 25 minutes, 3 hours.
The charging stations themselves are also getting better, right?
Like yes.
There's like a type, what do they call it, type 2?
Well, okay, so the how it breaks down is there's level 1, 2, and 3 chargers. And level 1 is just like your standard plug, like you have like right there in the wall. That'd be a 110 volt plug. You can plug in anywhere. So basically, I have a cord in the back of my car. If I'm stuck anywhere I am, there's electricity. I plug it in, it'll charge up. It does it slow. It does it at about 100 kilometers a day. So when we were on vacation last summer, for example, I just plugged it in near the showers, and we would take the car to go throughout the day. And
so you don't even need a special charger.
You don't need a special. 110 will do it. It's just a bit slower.
Yeah.
Now, if you got 220, it'll go twice as fast. And then the more amps you give it, it'll go even faster. Like I have a 50 amp at home in my shed. And that charges it at about 40 kilometers an hour.
Tell me about what's the cost of installing one of these special cables in your house?
It's just, you get it's a dryer plug. Mm-hmm. And you just get an electrician to come in and run the wires. I mean, it's like three, depends on how far away it is from your panel.
Yeah.
How much copper you need to run. So if it's close to your panel, it can be, I guess, 350 or more. There's a few different types of connectors you can get. I just chose to have a dryer plug or
yeah,
a stove plug. I can't remember. NEMA 1450, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And 50 amps. And so the cord that comes with my car has different fittings on it. So you can plug it into the wall, or you can plug it into the dryer plug, or you can plug it into, there's different European plugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the end on it, can adapt to whatever it is that you're giving it. So that's the level one charger.
Yeah.
Okay. Level one charger is 110. Okay. And level two is alternating current up to, I believe, 100 amps. So it's AC.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your vehicle, it comes into the vehicle. They have these charging units that converts it to direct current and charges the battery. That's level two charger. So you can get up to 60 kilometers an hour maybe on those, 50, 60. I haven't seen much higher than that. And there's a couple, there's a guy in Dan Moody out in Clarenville has one of those hooked up at his business because he sells solar panels and nice. And sells chargers as well. Chevrolet dealers have them. I believe Volkswagen has them now as well. So around the island, if you hit some of these spots, you can just pull in and get a free charge right now. The early adopter bonus, basically.
If you're just listening, I'm talking with Patrick Dunn. Patrick is the owner and of the electric vehicle and a huge proponent of electric vehicles. We're going to talk about cost, upfront cost versus back-end savings. We're going to talk a little bit about getting across this province and how it's getting a little easier. We're going to talk about hybrids, the difference between hybrids. Lots more. Don't go away. Myself, Daryl Power, and producer Zach Snow are here. We're talking electric cars. Back in a flash.
Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Midland FM radio network.
On the microphone there, Zachariah. Well, yeah.
All right.
We're having a few technical difficulties with electricity.
Go figure. Ironic.
And we're talking electricity. We're talking about the electric car. I'm here with Pat Dunn, electric car owner. Pat, we talked about the two types of chargers, but let's touch on the third one, which is the new and improved version, I guess.
Well, the level three charger, as they call it, is basically it's a direct current, high voltage direct current. So the level one is like everybody has in their home on the wall, 110 volt. Level two is 220 volt up to 100 amps. And level three comes in direct current. So it goes, I believe, 50 kilowatts up to, I believe the new one is 180. Like it's something crazy. They have like a new version two that Tesla have unleashed. And it's super fast.
Yes, Tesla has unleashed. Let's go there before we go, because you actually have pre-ordered the new Tesla, which is
the Cybertruck.
The Cybertruck. Yeah. I mean, it is totally straight out of a remake of Mad Max.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You must be excited.
I'm very excited. Yeah.
Now it hasn't even gone to production yet. There's like how many of these were pre-ordered? Hundreds of thousands.
Several hundred thousands. I haven't looked. We could probably find it.
Sure you could, because when you look at some car companies that have only sold a couple of hundred thousand vehicles, the fact that Tesla has so many pre-orders really speaks well to the future.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And that is, it brings us to another thing, because there is, whether it's overt or covert, there is still a battle between the combustion engine and the electric battery or the hybrid vehicle. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, the hybrid, the way I look at it is, and when you drive one of these things, you feel it right away. When you press on the accelerator, you just move. And there's no, like, a buddy of mine explains it as a Rube Goldberg machine, where you press on the pedal and then some fluid pumps through a pipe from the gas tank in the back up to the front. It squirts into a chamber. It squeezes into a valve, opens up. It squirts down into another chamber. And then the valve closes. The cylinder squeezes. There's a fire and a spark and an explosion. The cylinder pushes down. Another valve opens up and the exhaust shoots out through the back, which turns a crank. And then the crank then goes into a transmission. And then it continues right down to the crankshaft, out to the axles of the wheels, and the wheel turns.
Nice description, right? Of the combustion engine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, you saw the recycling ad that they ran recently where they say, you know, it's not that complicated.
Yeah.
Well, driving the electric is not anywhere near as complicated as that.
Yeah, it's literally like a doorbell.
Yeah, well, you drive with one foot. So when you press on the accelerator, you move forward very quickly. And when you release your foot from the accelerator, you slow down. It's like a braking motion. So, and as it's doing that, it's recharging the battery.
It does have a brake, but you don't. You get have to get used to the fact that you don't actually need it.
Well, you could drive around and you kind of play a little game in your mind when you're doing this. And I wish they would do, they could probably implement this in the car as like a gamified version of driving around. So if you don't hit your brake, you get like supercharging points or something like that, yes, for free charging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It recharges on this, when you release the pedal and the car is moving, it will actually, it's the movement that creates the charge.
Yeah. So when I drive up here from downtown up to, you know, up to VOCM, I'm using a lot more power. And now when I drive back home, back downtown, I can it's basically recharging my battery as I'm going back down over the hill.
Let's talk cost, because there is an extra cost associated with this car on the front end, which has kept people from actually going that route. Let's convince them otherwise.
Well, I wish my buddy Noah was here, because he just purchased the Model 3, and there is the Canadian version, which has, they have a $5,000 federal incentive, so you get $5,000 off.
Oh, that in Canada there is now?
Yeah.
Because there was one in the U.S. of $7,500 for quite a while.
Yeah, it's $5,000, and it comes from Ottawa, and there's a version of the car that you buy that qualifies it for that. And, you know, then you can kind of add on your bells and whistles. There's a few things you can put on, you can add aside from that afterward as software upgrades, like full autonomous self-driving. But he said, you know, he didn't tell me the exact number they paid, but he said he surprises people with how not overly expensive it is. And then you have to factor in, of course, you know, I don't know, how much do you burn in gas a year? $1,500?
I really don't know. Yeah, I mean,
right?
A lot.
$1,500, $2,000?
Yeah.
And like, you know, so the car that I have the Model S, which is a little older, it's a bigger car, it would probably be a couple of grand, $2,200 a year driving around in a vehicle that size. So, I mean, you definitely have to factor that in. I think we totaled it up. It's about $30, $35 a month.
Wow, which is, I mean, people are spending, I don't even drive a lot, not spending twice that a week.
Yeah. So that's a month on it, and that goes on to our electrical bill. And, you know, I mean, prices of electricity are maybe going up. I don't know, but they're definitely not as volatile as what you see when you're, you know, pumping.
And $30 a month is still a far cry from a full month of.
And that's my big car now. So my buddy, my friend Noah, who just bought the Model 3, so his probably runs on $20 because it's a little bit lighter and smaller. Yeah.
So on top of the savings from the cost of gasoline, let's look at maintenance, because there's a huge difference right there. I mean, there's any one of the myriad of things that can go wrong with your combustion vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Let's think of the ones that leap to mind, which is like the brakes, the muffler.
Yeah.
God forbid, the
exhaust.
Transmission. Exhaust.
Yeah.
Those systems, which basically have this shelf life. You know that every 2 years you might be changing your brakes. You know that every 4 years a part of your muffler is going in. You know, you may need a full different muffler job or partial, but none of these things exist with the electric car.
No, they don't. They have a guy who, like in Newfoundland right now, there's not very many of them, but they have traveling service people who can come and do 99% of fixing any issues, as long as, you know, if there's something major right now, it has to go to Montreal. So for Tesla and for owning a Tesla, that can be a problem, especially if you don't have warranty and those sorts of things, right? So mine's out of warranty right now. If I have to ship it to Montreal, it's, you know, $1,000 mm-hmm. on the Ocean X. So, but we've been we've only had to do that once. And it wasn't even it was just a routine thing. We just want to send it up every now and then and have them go over the whole vehicle and make sure everything is A-okay. But other than that, I mean, a guy comes in, he calls me and says, hey, I'm the Tesla guy here. I notice if I have any issues, I key them in on my app on my phone. And he just calls one morning and says, where's your car parked? I'm going to come and fix your issues. And he just does it right there in the parking lot.
traveling mechanic.
Yeah, comes right to you, whether it's your house or your work.
It probably just plugs into your full system, does full diagnostic right in your driveway.
Yes, yeah, yeah, he can definitely do that. Now, we've had, we've been very fortunate with another gentleman, John Seary, who is a big advocate for local electric vehicle adoption here in Newfoundland. And John has been helpful with, you know, letting us use his garage when the guy comes. And basically, he has a beautiful garage. Mm-hmm. So, way to go, John. Thanks.
John, shout out to John. You said that in summer months, you're getting some 480 kilometers to a full charge, 100% charge. Let's talk about getting across the island. What are some of the issues right now, and is it getting better?
Okay, so the only time that I use it to get across the island is in the summertime when we go camping. So we will take the truck, the Ford F-150, and hook the trailer onto that and put the kids, wife will take the kids in the car. And she'll go ahead of me or tag along behind me, and I'll drive the truck with the trailer. And we typically, what we've been doing is we stop at Clarenville, because we mean to get out early in the morning, but we don't end up actually leaving until late at night. And I know, you know, you just got to get out.
I remember.
I don't know if that happens to anybody else. But
everybody who's listening currently is laughing.
Yeah, we don't get out until way too late. Anyway, we get to Clarenville, and in Clarenville, like I said, Dan Moody at SW Energy has I believe it's a 80 amp level 2 charger, and Chevrolet, the GM dealer, Hickman's, is it?
Yep.
GM dealer there.
Yep.
So they have a charger there as well, and so we'll just pull our camper in there and put the boys to sleep in the back and let the car charge, and then we're good to go. We don't usually go much further than that, where that needs to get us. So this year we went to Notre Dame Park, and then when you're on the site, when you're on the campsite, you get a service lot, like you're good to go. You have like 50 amps right there.
You must get a lot of attention driving one of these vehicles around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, now more so because I think after the big Cybertruck thing, everybody's really recognizes the Tesla, and it's gotten a lot of attention for sure.
Before we leave, how about that magic concoction that the boys have figured out where to get the track on the back and the skis on the front of an electric vehicle, and they've taken that puppy on the trails?
What?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen this.
Google it when you get home.
Okay.
It's literally take your back tires off, put tracks.
On your electric vehicle?
On an electric vehicle, skis on the front.
Wow.
And you are officially good to go for a trail.
Oh, wow.
A heated vehicle.
Oh, wow. Huh? Is it, what kind of a car is it? You know,
little smaller version of the electric cars.
Okay, like a Leaf or something.
Yeah, there are actually kits you can buy now.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So listen.
I'd love to have an electric snowmobile.
I know.
Right?
It's
so quiet. You can imagine going through the, like just zipping through. All your hair is like just the wind blowing by.
And warm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, hand warmers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So listen, before I let you go, Pat, thanks so much for coming in today to talk about the electric vehicle. What do you think the future is in this province and in the country?
Well, I mean, everyone's looking at Muskrat Falls. So, you know, I'm not the first person to say that, you know, we got to tap into that and make good use of it. You know, let's eat it up. Mm-hmm. Let's have, you know, electric power lines in the backcountry so you can have electric snowmobiles or, you know, quads or motorcycles, because they're coming. They're already working on them.
And, you know, if you have an environmental slant, you can feel that you're actually reducing your carbon footprint, which is the other thing that we haven't even touched on.
You could, yeah. I mean, but you don't even need the, like, if you just want to save money.
Yeah.
I don't care, you know, I'm not saying I don't care about the environment, but, like, you know, the cost savings, like, that's the thing that, you know, where you want to classify yourself as, like, an environment, you know, doing good for the environment or not. Everybody wants to save money.
Mm-hmm. Before I let you go, you mentioned the Facebook group where a lot of information can be shared about the electric car. What's that?
Drive Electric NL.
And that's the place to go check in and really get a sense of where the industry is going and where it's going in this province.
And go in there and ask questions of other electric vehicle owners. If you got any questions or concerns or anything, the people are in there all the time asking questions. And there's more than, like, there's dozens and there's so many people in there just answering, trying to share their knowledge about it.
Drive Electric NL on Facebook. Pat Dunn, electric car owner, the Tesla owner, and soon to be driving the first. What's the name of that vehicle?
Mine's a Tesla Model S. Oh, the Cybertruck. And if you go to my website, bigtimemotionmedia.com, I've got a few links to some YouTube videos there that I put up where I took the car out and basically ran the battery down, went to Goobies and back, and barely crawled home in it. So you can check out and see, you know, what it's like. Going with no chargers.
Listen, Pat, thanks so much for this. If you're curious about what it's like to own one of these vehicles, you can check Big Time Motion Media, right?
Yeah.
Or Drive Electric NL. It's really, the future is here, let's face it. Thanks for this, Pat. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Daryl, for having me.
When we come back, we're going to take a little bit of a side trip. We're going to talk with Jordan Stringer. Some people who suffer from depression and other illnesses, keep it quiet, keep it to themselves. Other people share their information with others, and everybody gets to learn. We're all going to learn today from Jordan Stringer. He'll be here right after the break. Thanks, Pat.
Cheers.
Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to Sunday Drive. Great chat with Pat Dunn about the electric vehicle. Check it out. The future is here. Next up, Jordan Stringer. You know, I don't know if anybody enjoys a bit of Twitter, but I do enjoy a bit of Twitter. Why? Because there's so many people that you get to meet and interact with in this province who you've never actually physically met face to face. Jordan is one of those people. Just before the break, I did mention that some people who suffer from depression or some sort of other mental illness keep it to themselves. And that's the way they like it, and that's fine. Others are very extremely helpful to others in need when they actually are not afraid to discuss and talk about it in public and on social media. Jordan Stringer is on the line, and let's have a little chat. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Hey, Daryl. How's it going?
Now, you live in the best coast, is that correct?
I do live on the best coast.
I love
snowy best coast.
What's the weather like out there this weekend? I have a lot of friends out skiing there.
It's pretty cool. Lots of blowing snow and, you know, just constantly battling the snow at the doorstep. Yeah, typical good old Corner Brook winter.
Now, Jordan, I'm having this quick conversation with you. You sound like a wonderful, normal individual, and that is the thing about depression is that many people don't know. It's a silent, for the most part, people suffer in silence.
Yeah. I have for a long time, and basically for me, what's different right now is about a couple of years ago, I made some pretty drastic lifestyle changes in terms of, you know, physical fitness and nutrition, and a lot of mental health stuff was part of that. And I started kind of sharing that journey online and, you know, kind of telling my story. And what I learned very quickly is it became kind of twofold. For me, it was a way to hold myself accountable because I was putting, you know, all of these truths out there. And I learned very quickly that it became very positive, at least for some people, because other people found that inspiring and it motivated them to make some positive changes. And for me, in turn, that was also motivating for me. So, and that began 2 years ago with the beginning of another depression. I keep saying there was a depression at my doorstep, and I saw it, and I started to, you know, I got myself into therapy and I started making some changes, and I managed to make some really good changes, and I kind of knocked it back out of the park. And this fall, it didn't go so well. Mm-hmm. The fitness, the nutrition, the physical activity, you know, all of the things that I've been doing for 2 years just didn't seem to cut it. And I started to feel myself sink. I started to lose joy in things. I found myself once again becoming very emotional, not able to handle regular routine life like work, and you know, relationships were becoming difficult and so on. And I just started to gradually, I guess, have these conversations because I thought about what happened 2 years ago when I started to share things, and I found it really helpful. And it just kind of sort of happened gradually over time. I started talking about some of these things and realized that, hey, you know, we should be able to talk about these things. And it has been kind of a whirlwind few months with support and meeting people. And yeah, that's the public side of it. And then there's, you know, the private side of it with the doctors and the therapists and the medication. And here we are now talking to you.
Listen, there's, God, there's so much on my mind. Let's talk about when, because a lot of people have bad days. Some people have a string of bad days. I'm still curious about when people make that realization that, you know what, I'm not just having a string of bad days. I might be depressed. Can you tell me where the line is from one to the next?
I can only speak for myself because I think we all experience it a little bit differently. I think for me is when I realized I started to lose my physical energy. I'm a very, very happy, upbeat person normally. I love life and my life is awesome. And it started with, you know, things in my head and anxiety and, you know, my thoughts and scattered brain and that sort of thing. And just before Christmas, I started to realize, wait a minute, I don't want to get out of bed anymore. I'm finding it really difficult even just to get to the shower in the morning, let alone, you know, eat, let alone pretend I'm still happy, go to work. Yeah, so, and I think that was when it started to sink into me very real, in a very real way, that there's something not right here. And that's when I started, I guess, reaching out for help and talking to my doctor and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
It must be even more frustrating because once you have realize that you are suffering from depression, suddenly you're changing your lifestyle. You're getting yourself on an exercise regime. You're changing your diet. You're changing a lot of things to actually have and feel the onset of depression again, even with medication and medical support and, you know, perhaps some psychologists and doctors to still feel that depression. That's had to be frustrating for you.
Well, yeah, I think for me, one of the biggest things I realized this time around is I really couldn't, if I wanted to get well, I couldn't carry on just burying my head in the sand and carrying on with my regular responsibilities. Responsibilities were really, really challenging, and I just accepted the fact that it would not get better if I didn't take some time away from work and some things that were causing me, I guess, really some stress and so on. And for me, that was a hard one to take because I've always been a person to just push through things. When I set my mind to something, I'm determined I can do it. So this, to me, even just admitting the fact that I had to give up, it's, at least that's how it felt to me, I had to give up on something for a little bit in order to get well. For some time, I felt really weak. I felt defeated. And when I started talking about those feelings with other people, it made me realize that, no, it's the exact opposite. You know, there's strength in that recognition of having to take a break and step back and, take care of yourself in order to go on and live normal.
And I've had conversations with so many people, and the surprising thing is we have this feeling, and I sort of, when last week I spoke to Shannon Reardon, who she's working through and successfully issues of bipolar disorder. And there's this sense that, you know, we all have in life that currently every now and then we feel like I am not enough. And, but it seems like you actually having this discussion openly with other people has just sort of taken all those little negative self-thought processes that we had, tossed them into a ball in the corner, and has given you strength, which is the exact opposite of what one might expect.
I know what it's like to be there. I know all of those dark thoughts. I've survived those dark things before, and I think that's partly for me what pushes me to keep going, because I know I overcame stuff before, and I can overcome whatever this is. I know my journey may not be the same as exactly the same as Shannon's or other people, but I think a lot of our feelings are probably often the same, despite the differences, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Listen, to people who are listening currently, maybe they're going through something themselves, or maybe a close family member or friend is going through. Let's just take a minute for you to give the a pitch for people to go and have this discussion with their own family doctor.
I think the pitch is there are no second chances. You've got one opportunity right now to be well and live the healthiest life that you can have. And number one is mental health. Mental health is the number one health. Physical health obviously is important as well, but that sense of well-being and having purpose in life and desire and drive to live and find joy in everything around you, when we don't have that, I'm not sure what else there is. I guess my pitch is there are a lot of us, so I've learned in the last few months, who are medicated, are doing therapy and seeing counselors, and there is zero shame in that. And there may be an adjustment period. It may cause some short-term stress or anxiety, but in the long run, it really is worth it. And I'm saying that as someone who's, just a little more than 2 weeks on meds right now and still struggling with side effects. I know the struggles. do it. You're worth it.
You're worth it, Jordan Stringer. I'm so glad we got a chance to have this conversation. It's funny, I read this morning. I'm a self-help guy. That's what I do on the mornings when you get up early and can't sleep. I read, and I read lots. And I read something this morning about the fact of accepting where you are right now. And yes, there may not be any joy in it, but maybe the thing that we could do for today and the rest of our days is find joy in everything else.
Mm-hmm. So true.
I found joy talking to you, Jordan Stringer.
Likewise, sir. Thank you very much.
Let's keep in touch on your journey. I wish you all the best, and I'm so glad that you've taken this opportunity not only to talk about it on social media, but to get on the airwaves and talk about it with anybody who might be listening across Newfoundland and Labrador.
Thanks, Daryl.
Thanks, bud. Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Yeah. Folks, there's no shame in it. There's no stigma in it anymore. We all are who we are. We're going to the break. When we come back, probably the healthiest person I do know. That will be Amy Hoffman. She is, I've had her on before talking about the plant-based diet. Oh, she has her act together, folks. There's an event coming up called Good Food on Earth. We're going to talk about that in a flash. Don't go away.
Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. This is Daryl Power. This is Sunday Drive. Two awesome conversations so far. Thanks to Pat and Jordan. My next guest I've had on the air before. Her name is Amy Hoffman, and she is a proponent of a plant-based diet, and she is just a wonderful person. I've always enjoyed my conversations with her. She's a part of a website currently called Good Food Unearthed. Are you interested in having a plant-based diet? Do you think it would be difficult? Well, these people can guide you through. As a matter of fact, there is an event coming up very soon on the 22nd of February, I think, where you can learn just about how to cook and enjoy a plant-based diet. Amy is on the line. Amy, how are you?
Hi, Daryl. I'm great. How are you?
Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's great to be back.
I'm sorry, I was gushing a little bit about how much you have your act together, because I remember meeting you and thinking, oh my gosh, like, we all compare ourselves to other people, and here you are, not only the picture of health, which of course you are, but you just had this aura of someone who was just calm and relaxed and enjoying life without meat, which for a lot of our listeners may find this hard to comprehend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
You're also teaching others. Like, tell me about this potluck that's coming up, Amy.
Yeah, that's actually part of our nonprofit group called the Newfoundland Plant-Based Support Group. And it's going to be at Sobeys on Elizabeth Avenue in their community center. We usually meet there about once a month. And this week coming up, Saturday coming up, we'll be doing a workshop. It's called a Savvy Shopper Workshop. So it'll help teach you, you know, how to and where to find whole food plant-based products here around town, and also how to have your pantry stocked. So in cases like the big storm that we had recently, you won't have to worry because you've got your cupboards full of foods that are actually going to pull you through long periods of time. So
when you think about the rice, beans, and lentils, which most people think of the canned version, but the dried version that you sort of reconstitute yourself, one bag of those can last you a long, long time.
Yeah, that's right. And the other thing about that is, you know, most people who cook with, like, say, dried rice or another whole grain, they'll also know that the amount that you cook with, it doubles or triples when you add water to it. So these foods can feed a lot of people. And on top of that, they're full of fiber, and they work with our hunger mechanisms and our satiety mechanisms to really sustain us. So they're super affordable foods, and they work for our, in sustainability terms, like for our wallet and for hunger satisfaction. And then you can expand it to even environmental factors of sustainability.
It's not as expensive as people think.
No. Well, the thing is, most people tend to think about, you know, the fresh fruits and vegetables that can be really expensive. Like, they're going to think about kale and broccoli, and then they're going to think about, like, grapes. And yeah, those things have higher price ranges, but those are not going to be your staple foods. So people tend to not think about other vegetables that they actually do like and eat often and are really cheap, like potatoes. So, you know, you get your potatoes, you can get dried or canned beans, rice. You don't have to go for the fancy superfoods like quinoa or things that are going to break your budget. So it's this workshop we have coming up is going to address those things and show you just how affordable it can be.
And it is affordable, and there's lots to learn. You actually have workshop booklets that you hand out as well. I'm sure they're full of information. Before I let you go, tell us about the event that's coming up and where one can sign up for it.
Yeah, well, we've got it advertised on Facebook, and you can register by basically emailing goodfoodunearthed@gmail.com. It's a free event, and you can bring a friend along if you like. It's also a potluck. So we say that people who are new to the event, you don't have to feel pressured to cook anything. So you can just come and bring yourselves. You can bring, you know, a bunch of bananas or grapes or something like that. And then we do need you to register so that we can make sure we have the correct number of booklets for everyone. That's about, it's going to happen on the 22nd from 2 to 4. Again, it's at Sobeys Howley Estates, the one on Elizabeth Avenue, mm-hmm. in their community room. It's on their second level.
Amy, listen, thanks for this. Let's keep in touch because I'm always interested in what you're doing. And Good Food Unearthed is the website where people can find out lots of great information about how they might be able to make the switch. Potentially not 100% switch, but a slow, gradual change from a meat diet to a plant-based diet. Thanks so much for this, Amy.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
A quick one before we go to the news. And yes, Zach, I may be late. You know, a lot of people take pictures just like I do. Really bad ones. Other people have really turned it into something with a little bit of a skill. Vanessa Wade is someone who likes to take pictures of her hometown. Well, actually made it her town. Where she lives, St. John's, Newfoundland, and she has lots of great pictures. She is on the line now. Vanessa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Where are you from originally, Vanessa?
I'm originally from Conception Harbour in Conception Bay. Not far from town.
Beautiful little town.
Oh, gorgeous town.
I love the ones you have to drive off the main road to get to. They're always the nicest. They're worth the journey.
Oh, they're well worth the journey, absolutely. And, like, lots to photograph out that way, too. Some of the best stuff I've seen, like, on Instagram and different places, is the stuff from that, you know, just out the bay, out that way, you know?
What got you interested in photography, Vanessa?
Oh, I was always interested in it, like, from when I was small. I can remember having, like, just a regular film camera when I was maybe 7 years old.
Oh, you're dating yourself now.
No. this would have been the early 90s, you know? I'm no spring chicken now. But yesterday I had just like that kind of a camera and just going around taking pictures of family and different things. And, you know, they weren't great pictures, but I always was interested in cameras and looking at pictures too, just like the family photos. I was always interested in pictures in general.
And because of that, you actually have an eye for beautiful photos.
I like to think so, yes.
There's so many things. I mean, St. John's, it's a very photogenic spot, and I like the pictures that everybody expect to see, but it's the off the beaten track little dark nooks and crannies that most people don't know that exist in the downtown area that I find most interesting.
Yes, that's exactly what I am, you know, that's what I definitely focus on is like with my own photography and with my Instagram. I like to do like pictures like sides of St. John's and sides of Newfoundland that you haven't really seen that you might not think about as beautiful too. Mm-hmm. That's definitely what I'm like trying to do with my own photography, for sure.
Are you, for the most, sometimes you use a phone, but I guess you're probably it's about town with a fancy schmancy camera right now.
No, I actually use a phone.
Do you really?
I've been using iPhones for the past, 4 years or so now. I've been using an iPhone 5S and an iPhone 3S to take pictures.
Good for you. It's funny.
I haven't had a camera in a long time.
I find iPhones great for everything. We're talking on the phone.
Yes. I barely use this for. This is the first phone call I've had on this phone. It's maybe like a month or something. Actually, taking lots of pictures though.
That's interesting too, because it's funny. Like I've seen your photos and seen the great quality that you're getting, and I'm really surprised that you're taking them with an iPhone. So anybody can do this. Where can people find your work, Vanessa?
You can find my work on my Instagram, and the handle is at Vanessa Mary Wade.
Vanessa Mary Wade, and you can check you out on Twitter as well, which is at Vanessa Mary Wade. Listen, you keep taking those shots because your pictures, they stood out for me, which is why I reached out to you. Thanks so much for this conversation.
Yes, and thank you for reaching out to me. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Keep clicking those pics.
Oh, I'm going to. Don't you worry.
I love this town. Thanks, Vanessa.
Oh, I love this town, too. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That concludes the first hour. Let's go to the news, Zach, and we'll see you out the other side, folks.
This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Welcome back to the show. This is Sunday Drive. This is Daryl Power. Well, Patty Daly was in a little earlier today. He comes on here on Sunday afternoons every now and then. If I'm lucky enough, I get a chance to hang and have a yarn with him. And myself and Patty Daly spent a lot of time on the third floor of the old Thompson Student Center playing 120s growl. Ron Hines, 30 for 60. I don't have the five in my hand, but I recall my old man saying, "Oh, what the hell? I'm going 30 for 60. Let the night swell. Can somebody fix me a single malt whiskey?" It is a game that's been played right across the province. I love it. It's been a long while since I played it. There is a chance for people to learn and play, and it's happening at the Legion on Black Marsh Road. Jean Pierce is on the line, and she is going to take us through. Jean, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Great to talk to you.
Yes.
120s, like, it is just such a brilliant game, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a lot of kids don't know how to play it anymore.
Well, I did not, and I learned.
Did you learn?
Years ago.
When did you learn?
Oh, my God, that's years ago. It must be 60 years ago.
Yeah, I learned it as a kid, too. I mean, well, there was eight in our family, so it's pretty easy to find six for a decent game of cards. And it can be played with as little as four, but the real card game style is six people at a table.
Yes, it is.
Now, there are so many different rules to 120s, and so many different, you know, like people 30 for 60. I mean, some people say, well, or 60 for 120, which is like outrageous. Slam, we used to call it. Have you ever played that rule?
Yes, I did.
Which it's a great way to keep the other team from winning and to what we used to call go out the back door, where you would have go beyond minus 120 and actually lose the game.
So we play, mostly we play 30 for 60.
Yes, 30 for 60.
Yes, we do. Yes.
And there, but it's funny because, like, I remember playing. Mom invited me to. I joked about this before on the show. Mom invited me to play Sunday night with some of her friends on a Sunday night down in St. Francis of Assisi, where I was surrounded by saintly women who would cut the hand off you for running the wrong card at the wrong time.
Oh, you got that right. That is true.
So tell me about this game that you're having, sort of like an opportunity for everybody to just show up and participate in the game of 120s. Where's it happening?
Yes, it is. It's for anybody that would like to play. It has nothing to do with the age group. They can be 20 and come and play. They can be 80 come and play. Veterans and their wives. We have a couple of veterans there with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have, no, they don't have wives because they passed away, but we do have a couple of men there in the veterans. And we're only now getting started, so we don't have a big crowd yet, so we are looking for people to come and join with us.
This is happening at the Legion on Black Marsh Road?
Yes, it is. Yes, yes.
And when is it happening?
It happens every second Thursday.
And is that this Thursday going to be one of those dates?
No, this Thursday coming up, no, it's not. It's the following Thursday.
It's the following Thursday, and it's the time is 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock?
2 to 4, yes, sir, it is.
It must be feel good for you to be, because, I mean, it's a very social game, so it's for, like, a lot of people, I think about some people who don't get a chance this time of year to get out of their houses very often, and this is a great time to take a bus and head to the Legion on Black Marsh Road and meet some new friends and play a great game of cards.
Oh, my God, yes, it is so. My friend and I do it, Loretta and I do it. You know, we're the ones that runs that card game on Thursdays. And everything is good so far. We're just hoping to get some more people. It's only $3 to play and $2 for tickets. That's all it is. We have a couple of spins.
Oh, you have a couple of spins, too?
Yes.
And the money goes to the Legion itself?
No, it goes to us. And at the end of the season, we have a little get-together with them.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
A few tea and bickies, so to speak.
You're right on, yes.
So tell me, like, how many people have you been getting?
Well, so far now, this week past, we only had about 26.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, so it's coming up a little bit by bit, you know. It's hard to get people to go out this time of the year.
Are you playing complete games, or do you play, like, six hands per table and then switch tables?
No, just change players.
Oh, so
cast is the jacks, and then we cast three jacks. You got three different partners at every six deal.
Cash and jacks. Oh, you're taking me back, Gene. You're taking me back. So it is the Legion on Black Marsh Road. It's not this Thursday, next Thursday, 2 to 4, every second Thursday. Get there. And I guess we joked about being a professional, but if someone wants to go and learn, I'm sure there's a great opportunity to sit and learn the game because it's not that complicated.
No, Gary, they can come any time. But some people can't catch on. It took me a long time, but I did it.
And once you get it, you never forget it.
That's right.
Is your friend with you now?
Yes, she is. She's right there, Loretta.
Hi, Loretta. How are you doing?
I'm going to, I could tell. Just now trying to figure out where you came from.
Now, listen, Loretta, Jean, will she run the jack on the first round, or is she like someone who's going to run the king and like hold the jack for later in the game?
Well,
what's the story?
It depends on the partner, because normally the jack comes out in the second round, or sometimes people make their choices and can come out at any time. But normally the three partners, there's six people sitting at the table, and you go corner from corner, and that's the way you get your partners. And then you're kind of, your partner, sometimes they'll stay back without running the jack and then come in after when you least expect it, which makes it a bit exciting then, right?
Oh, you'd probably kill me, Loretta, because I am a big fan of sandbagging the jack.
reneging the jack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's common. And then, like I said, then at the end it comes out and you're surprised because you're thinking the opposite got it, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So then instead you get 60 points, really, you know, and that's how you measure 30 to 60. And the Legion, you know, we have a lot of things on the go at the Legion, not only the cards, that's under sports. We have darts tournaments and we have different things. If anybody is interested, it's a fabulous place to go and the atmosphere is fantastic there.
It's a beautiful...
It has to be. We're there.
And a little museum, too, which is a really... It's a really nice place. Anyway, there's nothing better than someone bidding 30 for 60 and you hold on to that jack until the last round. The last round?
Well, don't forget the Ace of Hearts is pretty powerful, too.
It is. It's a great game. Loretta and Jean, thanks so much for this. I appreciate it. Next Thursday.
And thank you for your time.
2 to 4 at the Legion next Thursday. Go there and have some fun.
No. The following Thursday.
Yeah,
no?
Next Thursday. Yep, that's right.
No, it's not next Thursday. The Thursday after that.
Oh, see, I call that next Thursday.
No,
we're fighting already.
Depends what part of town you came from.
We don't even have the cards in our hand and we're fighting already. Uh-oh.
we're doing poker right now.
The Thursday after next. How about that?
Yes, honey, that's right.
Take care of yourselves. Have fun.
Everyone is welcome.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, sir.
I know they can play a bit of growl. We're growling over Thursday next and next Thursday. Woo! We are going to the break. Don't go away. Back in a flash.
Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Here we are back again already. Well, Larry Foley. I mean, let's talk about Larry Foley for a second. We can talk about the work he did, the great work he did with the punters. We can talk about his solo work and his work with Kevin Evans around town and his work with Mock around town. But one of the things that is very close to his heart is that really, really spectacular country band known as the 8-Track Favorites. They have a show coming up. It's called A Tribute to the Legends of Country Music. Larry is on the line. Larry, how are you?
Daryl.
What's up?
What are you at today?
Now, Larry, I've interviewed you several times on this radio program. I don't think ever from your house. Where are you doing today?
You know where I am? I'm in the basement of O'Darren Hall on George Street.
See, how did I know you were going to be at a gig? You're either at a gig or on the way to one.
I'm absolutely at a gig. We just finished... playing with Kevin Evans doing the Sunday matinee. It's his 65th birthday.
Is it?
And we had a big crowd. A great time here at O'Darren Hall. What a great spot here on George Street, Trinity Pub. And, I'm down in the basement now because I can hear you down here because it's too loud up there.
It's a great little venue, O'Darren Hall. So listen, tell us about how long have the 8-Tracks been together?
Daryl, man, listen, your guess is as good as mine. Sandy Morris and I chat about this all the time. I always say it's like, I'm about 20 years, something. 20 years? Must be 20 years.
Yeah. I think your first album, was it coined by Patty Moran? Was it One Track Mind, which is probably the best title ever? 8-Track Favorites, One Track Mind.
That was our second record, I think. You know what? Like, it's the most organic thing ever. I never thought, we didn't sit down and say, let's make a country band and it'll be wicked. It was like, let's just do this for fun, and people got onto it. But you know what? I love to see there are other bands coming around, there are other shows, and I just think that the classic country thing is such an important piece of music that it will always be there. And I found with the 8-Track Favorites, it's like I'm at it so long now. There's a generational thing. It's like,
yeah.
People say to me, I don't even like country music, but I love what you guys do. And I was like, well, that's country music. But I saw a thing the other day on Facebook. Loretta Lynn is not happy with where country music is. And I'm like, yeah, I can see where she's coming from. But, you know.
Yeah.
Well, people said that in the 50s, too.
I know. That's exactly.
Banjos, right?
It's funny because I've seen, I don't know if you've seen Ken Burns' country, his tribute to country music, which is fantastic.
I certainly have.
And
absolutely.
Yeah. So iTunes actually streams the playlist from that show, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, what a tremendous playlist that is.
The songs are so great, right? I mean, like, I feel like when we do this show, we're just a conduit. Like, we're not trying to be impersonators or anything. We just do the songs the best we can. And people relate to it because it's the soundtrack of their lives, right, in a lot of ways. And as I say, it's almost a generational thing that we've been at it so long. But people just, those songs are, like that was Uncle Frank's song. That was Uncle Tom's song.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. There's such a personal connection to it. And we are so grateful to the folks that come every year. Like, we don't do a big heap load of advertising for it. It sells itself. We do, you know, basically the same number of seats every year. And it's a gathering, I always say. It's not a gig. It's not a show. It's a gathering of people who come together that want to experience the music, you know?
I think about the Newfoundland kitchen parties, and you look at your American bass, which really brought a lot of country music to the province over the airwaves.
You're a smart man, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in Placentia. When as a kid, you know, you sneak into the hall or you'd be out by the door or whatever. Like, the bands did a bunch of accordion tunes, then they sang a few Irish songs, and then they would break into George Jones.
Right, good music. Didn't matter where it came from.
Life in that place, and I grew up to that. And I guess people say to me, "Oh, Larry, you're so versatile." I'm like, man, I'm just doing what it knows. Like, you know, I'm a little white guy who plays three chords. Like, that's what I know, and that's what I grew up to. But people will always relate to it because they're great songs. It's as simple as that.
And let's not forget the man, the legend, Paul Raines, who has really kept the tradition alive for so many years. Is there anyone who can get more excited over a can of Vienna sausages? I'm hoping he's enjoying his retirement.
Best 22 on the air.
And Brian O'Connell is doing a great job now. So the show is coming up at when and where? It's the Arts and Culture Center.
February 26th, the Arts and Culture Center, St. John's, Newfoundland. And tickets are available at 729-3900 or at the box office.
And members keep sort of floating in and floating out. And I noticed Kevin Evans is actually sporting a cowboy hat lately for the...
Playing the pedal steel. How about that? The guy's 65 today. And, you know, one of the greatest singer-songwriter fellas with a flat top you ever saw in your life. But he's a pretty accomplished pedal steel player as well. So we're lucky to have him. We got Shannon Lewis, who's fantastic female vocalist, Billy Whalen from Belle Island, who just brings hardcore Kelly Tickin to the deal. Sandy's mm-hmm. always there. Bobby Pike is on the bass. Luke Welsh from Spaniards Bay, he's on the fiddle. Adam Staple on the drums, and Dr. Doug Angel on the piano. It's a tribute to the spirit of the thing. Like I said, we're not trying to be anyone or like dress up like the, you know, it's not an impersonation thing. It's a tribute to the music.
And great music it is. It is February 26th, 8 p.m. at the Arts and Culture Center. Bring your cowboy hats and your cowboy boots and get ready for some great music. Always a pleasure, Larry. Give Kevin a kiss for me, will you?
Daryl, you're a star. Thank you, buddy.
Take care, bud. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bro. Bye.
Yeah, that will always be a great night, I am sure. Go see that band because that is a best of musicians on stage playing music that they love. Next up, VOCM is sponsoring the festival coming up. Yes, it is the Winter Carnival out in CBS, so we thought we'd reach out to the mayor, Terry French, and get a little update about what is going on because it is rolling. Mayor French, how are you?
Good evening, Daryl. How are you doing?
I am doing great. You must be pretty excited.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, now we've had a quite a busy weekend. It started off on Valentine's Day, the Friday, and we're rolling it out now from now till the 23rd. So it's, 9 days of activity. So it's no trouble to find something to do in Conception Bay South for the last couple of days and for sure the next week as well. So we've got all kinds of events.
It's great because for the people, to get into the spirit, I mean, Mount Pearl has their Winter Carnival, and as soon as that doesn't even end and you hardly get a chance to take a breath, and you get to swing into the CBS Winter Carnival as well.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you know, it seems like it's been a long winter already. Unfortunately, it's only the middle of February, so this is something to break it all up. And I guess a number of communities all do the similar type things. So yeah, we're no different, certainly. We started, you know, I guess it's all about, you know, bringing spirit into your community as well this year. You know, we've done a lot of stuff for inclusion as well. So we have, you know, Special Olympics events. We have a games night, snowshoeing for them. We also have a family skate that's inclusive, whereby we turn the lights down and the music is extremely low, so everybody that wants to can enjoy the event. So we're trying hard to include everybody, of course. And this is an event, you know, like our neighbors, there's something for everyone, whether you're older in years or whether you're younger in years. Just today we had a you know, people reading stories to our little kids. And we had a family fun day this morning. And then, of course, that rolls into, we've got, you know, the big hockey challenges between the two high schools, Holy Spirit Falcons and Queen Elizabeth Pioneers. That's the Fred Squires Memorial that's been going on now for a couple of decades. So that's a big one. And then we have the junior high as well, have a couple of challenges as well for the males. And, of course, the females, they play for the Annie Squires Shield. So it's sports as well. We have volleyball. I'm on my way to a volleyball tournament now. A soccer tournament now shortly. But we have volleyball and badminton. And then a whole host of outdoor stuff, of course, as well, you know, whether it's, and most of this is free night, free stuff too. So we want to be affordable for our residents. So whether you're talking about bowling nights, swimming, skating, we even do snowshoe hikes. So all kinds of fun stuff for people to get out and get involved in.
It's great for town spirit as well.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Like yesterday, for example, we had a community breakfast. And that was sponsored by the Lions Club. And, I mean, we went up and helped all. The council went up and served it. You know, we had Barry Petten there, Paul Dean, Ken McDonald, the leader of the opposition, Jess Crosby was there. And, of course, council served it. The Lions Club cooked it. And we must have had close to 1,500 to 2,000 people go through over a few hours. So people coming together, having a chat, a lot of fun. And just today we had the Family Fun Day, and that was sponsored by our Kinsman Club. This year is their 100th anniversary, so they hosted a big to-do this morning with sliding and snowshoeing and so on. So, you know, all kinds of exciting things happening for sure.
People can go on, work on the online, I'm sure, at your website and get all the information of what they can attend this week. Tell us where to find it.
Yes, absolutely, Daryl. A couple of things, you know, and plus with the weather, of course. So please go to www.conceptionbaysouth.ca for the full list of details, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter and so on. And, you know, we have another couple of events that I'm really excited about coming up next week. We have our craft beer night, where we have people supplying Nine Penny is going to be there, our own Nine Penny. Then we have Backaloo Trail Brewery and Landwash putting off an event at the Manuel's River. And then on the Saturday night, we have something that I'm sure you'd be certainly interested in, is a youth open mic night, entertainment night. So these are new events. We're always trying to be creative and come up with some new things, and I look forward to it.
Keep it going out there in CBS. Terry French, always a pleasure speaking to you, my friend.
Thanks, Daryl, very much. And we got to do it more often.
We do. Listen, enjoy the taste of the microbrew down to Manuel's River, because I'm sure of all the events you want to attend, you may just have to be forced to step into that one as well.
I might just have to sneak in for that one, for sure. You know me now.
Mayor French, always a pleasure. Thanks, bud.
All right, Daryl, thanks.
Bye-bye. That's Mayor Terry French of the town of CBS. Get out there and enjoy some things. And folks, I didn't ask, but I'm sure even townies are allowed. Even people from Mount Pearl are allowed. We're going to the break. Back in the flash. Don't go away.
Your Sunday drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Yeah, welcome back. Well, you know how when I do this show, I like to be all over the place. Now, I always like to keep tabs on Newfoundlanders who are abroad doing some wild, wonderful, crazy things. I've had this guy in the air before. His name is Arthur Craig Green. He is a radio DJ all the way out there in Yellowknife. And did he ever have an event just last weekend, I believe? It was the NHL All-Star event up there in Yellowknife. Not only did he get to rub shoulders with the Lanny McDonalds and the Paul Coffees, etc., but he also got a chance to take a good friend from Whitburn out and show him the sights and give him something, an event and an experience he will not soon forget. Arthur Craig Green is on the line all the way from Yellowknife. Arthur, how are you?
Oh, not too bad, Gerald. Just battling the flu after spending all last week outside.
Yes, what's the weather like up there?
It's a warm minus 47 right now, and the sun is shining, but it's pretty chilly.
It is, yeah, it's pretty chilly. Well, actually, it's getting warmer here after a couple of chilly days. I called it the All-Star Game, but it's Hockey Day in Canada. It is an event that has really become a highlight of people's hockey season in the winter, and this time they brought it to Yellowknife. What was that like for the people of that town?
It was pretty amazing. You know, it was the 20th anniversary of Scotiabank Hockey Day in Canada. So they had a week-long event, and then, of course, on Saturday was the big day with the broadcast, with over 9.4 million people watching our city. But leading up to the event, Daryl, was you know, a life-changing experience for me because, you know, I got to travel around with the Stanley Cup to seniors' homes and different places, schools, high schools, elementary schools. I got to bring it to different towns in such as Deda and Neildo. But you know, it was quite a life-changing experience because I have a friend from Whitburn, and he's a special needs man. And yesterday was his birthday, actually, so he turned 40. His name's David Reed, and you know, David is the biggest hockey fan in Canada, Daryl. So I had to share all those special moments with him. So I took him with me on FaceTime. So he calls me. He calls me every day. Mm-hmm. Make sure I'm okay. So I took him around, you know, on FaceTime, and he got to meet, you know, Phil Pritchard, who's the keeper of the Stanley Cup. You know, he got to meet Darcy Tucker. He was on the phone with Leaf legend Darcy Tucker for about 15 minutes. And, you know, the guys were so great. I got to hang out with, like, Paul Coffey and Lanny McDonald and Ron McLean and Cassie Campbell. And, you know, all the people from Sportsnet were so friendly. And, yeah, it was a great week.
Boy, oh, boy. Seeing the Stanley Cup in person and getting to carry it around. There was a great footage of Lanny McDonald, you know, of Leaf fame and Flame fame, coming in on a dog sled with the cup.
Yeah, I actually was right in front of the Yellowknives Dene Drummers. So they're a group that's here from Yellowknife, and I was stood across from them when Lanny made the entrance on Fame Lake with the Stanley Cup, and you know, he said it was a life changing experience for him. Also, Brian Trottier was here in town, and Brian brought the cup to Delaney, which is the birthplace of hockey. And I got to interview Brian Trottier, and he told me a really neat story about how he grew up skating on a beaver dam rink, and you know, with dead cows frozen into the ice, and that's how he learned how to deke out, was by going around these cows. So, you know, it was a week of storytelling, you know, and love for the game of hockey, right?
And these guys who are, like, they have long since retired, but I mean, they're absolutely still love the sport, and they still love the fans. They're totally in their element, out hanging with fans, sharing stories and sharing their love of the game.
Yeah, I mean, during the week, I spent a lot of time. They all knew me by my first name by the end of the first day, and you know, they were so friendly. It was like hanging out with one of the boys, Daryl. Like, I couldn't believe it. Actually, a dream come true for me, you know, because I grew up watching Paul Coffey and Darcy Tucker and Wendell Clark, and then, you know, having them call me by my first name and watching them interact with the children. I mean, they had such great messages, anti-bullying and, you know, work hard and stay in school and stay away from drugs and alcohol, and you can, like, achieve dreams. And, you know, Brian Trottier was a great influence for the Aboriginal people that live in the Northwest Territories, because he's Aboriginal himself, and, you know, he's like, I grew up on a beaver dam skating, and he's like, I thought every Canadian lived like this, but he's like, you know, dreams are possible. Dreams can come true if you just work hard, right? So it was a great message for all the kids.
Listen, Arthur Craig Green, you sound like you're having a ball out here in Yellowknife.
Yeah, it's a fun town to live in. You know, I'm getting to see lots of culture. I just actually started a new business in Fort Saskatchewan. I'm not leaving up here yet, but I just started River Radio in Fort Saskatchewan, which was a city that I used to work in. And me and another Newfoundlander and a great Ukrainian Canadian have started this station. So you know, it's who knows where I'll be in the next year or two. But one thing, I'll still be reporting the news wherever I am, right?
Wherever you are, once the news gets into your blood, it doesn't leave. Arthur Craig Green, keep us in the loop about what you're up to when you get to Saskatchewan, or maybe we'll have another yarn again.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, I'm only a tweet away, Daryl.
Listen, always a pleasure, bud. Take care.
You too, thank you.
Take care, bud. Yeah, that is what a treat. What a treat to have a chat with Arthur, to think just the opportunity to you know, hang with some players, see the cup. I remember the band was playing at the All-Star. This was the All-Star game out in Denver, Colorado, and it was pre-show, and we were hanging out, and the door opens up, and Sittler and Daryl Sittler and Lanny McDonald walk into the dressing room, and jaws dropped, let me put it that way. I also remember one of my favorite, something I'll never forget, they had a little mini sort of All-Star game sort of memorabilia in one of the showrooms, and I was actually standing with Kenny Dryden, staring at Kenny Dryden's famous goal pads protected behind the glass. Experiences I will not forget. Listen, I lost me a bit of Newfoundland music, and I loves me a few Newfoundland tunes. Well, sometimes the problem is actually learning these tunes. If you're lucky enough to get in a session long enough and often enough to learn them yourself, fine. But my next guest, Alan Farrell, has really made it easier for not only people from this province, but for people from all over the world to get a sense of the wonderful music we have here in this province and get a chance to play some of the traditional music. Alan Farrell has created a brand new website. He is on the line to tell us about it. Alan, how are you?
Hello, Daryl. How are you doing?
Nice to talk to you, buddy. Where are you from originally, Alan?
I'm originally from a little small fishing community down on the west side of Placentia Bay. It's called Little Bay, actually. It's very near Marystown.
So is it on the which bay?
Placentia Bay is it's Placentia Bay. So it's on the western side, down around Bjorn and Marystown.
Really, I don't know that place. That's interesting because I did a lot of a summer job with dealing with Placentia Bay and spent a little bit of time there. What do you play? What instrument?
I'm an accordion player.
Now, you are obviously interested enough in music, but you have taken this to the next level, and you've made a pretty big splash because you've made so many people's lives easier if they want to learn how to play traditional music from this province and from elsewhere. They can log on to nltrad.ca, and there it is, a ton of tunes, a ton of musical sets, and sometimes live footage of people playing them, but also MIDI files where people can actually not only see the notes to the music, if you can read music, but if you have an ear for music, you can hear MIDI files and hear these tunes being played and get a sense of what they sound like.
That's right.
It's a beast.
It's a labor of love for me. I've been playing since I've been 17, on and off. I bought my first accordion down at O'Brien's on Water Street. I kind of fell in love with the music when I came to St. John's for university. I heard Figgy Duff and people like that. And so I've been at it ever since. And the website was just a way for me to organize the tunes that I play. You know, I never thought anybody would pay any attention to it. But I kind of made it so that I can look at it when I'm at a session or if I'm traveling or whatever. And people discovered it, and it's kind of taken off from there.
It has, because a lot of people, musicians in particular, seem to be, you know, a lot of well-known musicians are really excited about this because you get to learn, yes, everybody wants to go to a session if they can, but not everybody can. So it gets a chance to learn the repertoire of Newfoundland music right from the comforts of your own living room.
That's right. It finally got some notice, I think, when Emilia Bartalos from the Dardanelles kind of tweeted it out and put it on her Facebook page. After that, it's been kind of crazy. People all over the place have been looking at it. I've been watching the traffic to the website over the last 3 or 4 days, and it's been pretty international, actually.
I have been a fan of the website GEST, which is really probably the best assortment and collection of Newfoundland music, where you just search any tune and you can find the lyrics and often YouTube link to that tune. But this is the next step. This is for the person who not only enjoys listening to it, but wants to play it.
That's right, and it's all instrumental music, and so it's kind of like the dance music of Newfoundland, and plus other kind of Irish tunes that you hear when you're at sessions here in St. John's and around the island, really.
You mentioned your first accordion. I'll tell you the story. I'm in Cape Breton. I'm in Sydney, and there's a sort of a used store, you know, which I love those little stores that sort of sell the knick-knackery. And I buy this accordion. It's a Hohner AD, the two-row accordion. Yeah. It had its own homemade wooden case with this little piece built onto the side for music notes or whatever. So I lay it on the counter, and Buddy looks at me and says, "You must be from Newfoundland." And I said, "Why do you say that?" He said, "Because you're the only crowd that buy these accordions."
Yeah, the accordion's very popular in Newfoundland. The fiddle is as well. And there's a pile of other instruments around as well, I guess influenced by the Irish tradition. The website can really accommodate all of those instruments. It gives you the notes, and it gives you something to listen to as well, if you're curious. I'm kind of work on it every day a little bit, and I have good plans for it going ahead.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement about it. When I think about when I was first started playing, traditional music that I loved and still love in this province, yep. There were only a handful, what I will call a handful of players. And I remember getting to Cape Breton for the first time and just having my jaw drop at the quality of players that were there, whether it was fiddle, bouzouki, piano. The style was different, and it was just these players, like every single nuance and step they were playing together, that has changed in this province now. The quality of player is just unbelievable, and it's grown so much in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and I think making this music more accessible online and around the world, really, will even continue that, right? It'll help players develop. It'll give them a place where they can develop a repertoire of this music. And I think sky's the limit. Newfoundland music's pretty popular.
There's a lot of curiosity about it, and whether you're from Sydney, Nova Scotia, or Sydney, Australia, you can go to nltrad.ca, learn some wonderful Newfoundland tunes, and show up at a session and show your chops with people who you've never played with before. It's a great idea. It really is. People should go and check it out. It's nltrad.ca. Listen up, Alan, thanks for doing this. I'm sure
you're very welcome.
Your hard work is paying off. Keep up the hard work, because everybody is going to benefit from this. I think it's a great story.
Great. Thank you very much.
Take care, bud. So
people,
go pick up a boron, pick up a whistle, pick up anything, and go and learn tunes. It's officially easier now because of your work.
Okay, great.
Later, bud. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. That is it. We are going to the last break of the day. When we come back, I like to finish every show here on Sunday Drive with a little bit of Guide to the Good. It's some small business or something that's going on in this province that is worthy of note. They're all assembled in guidetothegood.ca, and we like to highlight someone new every single week. Next up is something a little different. It's about lip reading. A lip reader's delight right after this. Don't go away.
Your Sunday Drive continues right after this. This is Sunday Drive on the VOCM Bigland FM radio network.
Where does the time go? Are we really up to the last segment of the program? Wow. Zach, she flies by. Now listen, full disclosure here, my eyes are motley, okay? Since I was a kid and first got my first pair of glasses in grade 2 and had the realization, oh, so this is what everybody else sees. I have come to rely on glasses for the rest of my life. But luckily, even with all the loud music that I suffered myself through and enjoyed myself through, my ears are pretty good. Not everybody is so lucky. Could you believe that 1 in 5 Canadian adults actually has hearing loss? And that has a big impact on their daily lives. Cue Guide to the Good. Cue a brand new group called themselves Read Our Lips. And yeah, this is something that I am really looking forward to. Allison Butler is on the line to tell us all about it. Allison, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Tough to read lips on radio.
Absolutely. Really tough to read lips on radio.
Now, as someone who spent a bit of time in the nosebleeds of the House of Assembly, I really wish I could read lips.
Well, you know what? There's so many people that can benefit from the skill of reading. And even though the intention is that it's designed for those who maybe have reduced hearing or challenges with their hearing, there's so many situations where we can all benefit from lip reading. And we hear all the time from people who say, I go to a noisy restaurant, and lots of them are these days, and I have such a hard time carrying on a conversation with my friends and family. Anywhere that we go where it's louder or there's a lot of people, we can benefit from teaching ourselves this new skill. And it's a, you know, it's a tool for communication.
It's funny, we had just talking a little bit earlier about depression and about how people sometimes keep that private. Hearing loss is another thing. Once people begin that it looks like they're losing their hearing, they almost sort of suffer in silence rather than tell anybody about it or do something about it.
That's sadly true in a lot of situations, although, you know, we're starting to see some changes there. The technology is certainly a lot smaller than it used to be, but a lot of people sort of can choose lip reading as a way to help them communicate if they're not quite ready to take that step yet, or like I said, just in situations where there's lots of background noise. Everyone struggles with that no matter what their hearing is like. And so everyone can kind of benefit from, you know, being able to watch those movements of the mouth and seeing and kind of helping to fill in the blanks.
This is an offshoot of the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association. How new is this organization?
So Read Our Lips, we actually launched in October 2019. So it's only been going for a couple of months. And we are a social enterprise of the association. So that means that all proceeds from this program go back into supporting the community programs and services that we offer throughout Newfoundland and Labrador at the Canadian Hard of Hearing Association.
Tell me about the course.
Well, it's a self-paced online course, so you can take it from the comfort of your own home or your public library, as long as you have access to some type of device like a computer or a tablet or your phone, and an internet connection. And it's video-based, so you watch and practice and learn different movements of the mouth and can kind of practice on your own time to help you enhance that skill. I sort of like to think of it as a extra superpower.
So you're not forced into a time constraint if you do sign up for this. You can learn at your own pace. What's the cost associated with it?
So the course costs $49.
That's reasonable.
I think so, yes. And yeah, you can come, you can practice together with someone at home, with a friend. You can go along at your own pace. There are 8 comprehensive lessons that are part of it. And yeah, it's a really fun skill. And anyone who's interested can actually go online, and there's a free preview of the course, so you can kind of see what it's all about.
So if someone does this course, like, how proficient do they become? Is it like, do they become instant experts, or does it just begin the process for them?
It's the beginning of the process. And like almost anything, like learning a new language or anything else that we're learning new, some people will pick it up more quickly than others. So it's sort of a hard question to answer. But we start with the movements of the mouth that are the easiest to watch and see. So we try to make it, you know, not too difficult for people. And I've actually had some recent feedback from people that say, oh, when I first started trying, I found it so difficult, but I kept going, and now I really feel like I've gained something. And it's like a lifelong skill for practicing as well.
I'm just, yeah, it's definitely something that I'm really curious about. It's off-putting. You know, you're meeting a lip reader when they're actually looking at your lips when you're speaking rather than your eyes?
Yeah, yes. And a lot of people are amazing lip readers, and a lot of people do it without even realizing. But this is for sure a thing that you can learn and get better at with practice.
I think about many of the sports shows that you watch on TV, and the coaches, what have you, always have the paper put over their mouth for that
yes.
exact reason, that they don't want
yes.
their secrets being robbed by the opposing team.
Exactly. So there's also been lip readers, you know, who've been hired by the FBI for reading lips off, you know, video footage and all sorts of things. So really fascinating skill.
And for me, it would be great to learn, but for people who are hard of hearing, who do maybe are moving towards a hearing aid, this is an extra sort of bow or arrow in the quiver, and another tool to actually communicate and get out of the potential isolation that people suffer and feel from being hard of hearing.
Exactly. It's really great. I love the idea of tool in toolbox. You know, hearing aids are a wonderful, amazing technology. This is an additional piece or something that can lead into it. It's also, I think, a great resource for family members, professionals working in the community to just get a better understanding of communication. I really think we can all benefit from it.
I am definitely, sign me up for this. I'm so curious about this. I have to check it out. Allison Butler, if people want to figure out where they can find this, where shall they find it?
Well, we are a part of the Guide to the Good resource, so you can check us out there. We also have a website called readourlips.ca, and anyone can go to the Guide to the Good page and find us, or to the website and check out the free preview that's available.
Allison Butler, Read My Lips, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How about that for a new skill? Folks, we're at the end of another show. Where does it go? I love this show. Thank to everybody for listening. Thanks to all my guests for teaching me and you so much every single week. I'll be back next Sunday, 4 to 6, on behalf of myself, Daryl Power, producer extraordinaire, Zach Snow. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again. Until then, God guard thee, Newfoundland and Labrador.